In our second reading today, St. Paul tells us something that on the surface might look to be a bit of a contradiction. He's praising the Thessalonians that they received the word with great affliction, with joy from the Holy Spirit. And we might ask ourselves, how can one have at the same time great affliction and joy? They do seem to be kind of contradictory. St. Paul is trying to show us a way, really the secret to the Christian life, how to be joyful, no matter what our circumstances might be. Notice that there's a difference between being joyful and being happy. We like to say today that we want to be happy. We want our children to be happy. Truth is, happiness very much depends upon kind of where we're at. It's hard to be happy when we're sick. It's hard to be happy if we've lost our job. It's hard to be happy when there's worries and anxieties everywhere. Happiness is kind of a feeling. And rightfully in life, it's going to come and go up and down. We don't want to base our relationship with God or with anybody else on this kind of happiness. Rather, St. Paul is speaking of joy from the Holy Spirit. And it is possible to be joyful no matter what our circumstances. Perhaps one of the great saints that shows us this is St. Francis. This is the month of October, and we celebrate his feast day this month. I was thinking about him the other night. On Friday night at our school auction, we were auctioning off a statue of St. Francis that I think had to be the biggest, heaviest one I've ever seen. I mean, he stood about as high as the Ambo and had to weigh at least 200 pounds because we could not even move him up to auction him off. But of course, he went for big money because everybody wants a statue of St. Francis in their front yard. He's like the patron saint of front yards. Or at least people think that, well, he's so outdoor friendly and he loves animals and cute little woodland creatures. And maybe if we put St. Francis in our yard, we'll have cute little woodland creatures too. I don't know, but everybody wants a statue of St. Francis in their yard. And I think it is partly because people think, well, he loved animals. But the truth is, St. Francis was not just like a patron saint of hippies, kind of. I think we do him a disjustice here when we show him like that, because St. Francis was a pretty hardcore radical guy. He came from the town of Assisi, which was a pretty well-to-do town with nice big walls around it, and he came from a fairly rich family. But St. Francis finds that amidst all this wealth and privilege that he had, he was not happy, and he was certainly not joyful. And it perplexed him to the point where he decided, perhaps all these things that I have are what's getting in the way. And so famously, St. Francis never did anything like halfway. So when he decides, you know what, I'm going to give my whole life to God. I really do want to do, like it says in the gospel, to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. I don't want anything to get in the way. So he renounces all his inheritance from his father. And then famously, he takes off all his clothes, stands naked before the governor of the town, and gives him his clothes, and walks off where a beggar feels so sorry for St. Francis that the beggar actually gives him a little beggar's cloak to wear, the first Franciscan habit. Now, St. Francis was a little bit radical. I hope today that you are just as radical in your desire to give yourself to God. I do, however, hope that no one this morning takes off their clothes and offers them. Spiritually offer in your heart, and that will be fine for this morning. If you want to do a little private ceremony at home later, knock yourself out. But St. Francis wanted to make that total gift. And something interesting happens. He leaves then Assisi, but he doesn't go far away. He actually goes down in the valley right below the town into the swamp where there's a kind of abandoned church. And there he starts his little community. Because see, what happens is people see St. Francis down there, and they're up in the town, and first they make fun of him. Like, oh, look at St. Francis. He's an idiot down there in the swamp. But then other people St. Francis's age, young people, begin to say, you know what? I'm not happy up here either. Look at St. Francis. He's got nothing. He's down in a swamp, and look how happy he is. I want that. He seems to be filled with joy. I'm going to join St. Francis. And so they would go. And pretty soon there was a little community of brothers. And pretty soon that community of brothers attracted others like St. Clare, who herself formed a community of women. And pretty soon that community is now thousands and thousands of Franciscan and poor Clares strong throughout the world. It was joy that attracted these people. And notice that that joy came despite and maybe even because of this great abandonment to poverty. Now, how can that be? Well, God is reminding us in our readings today to take care of the poor, symbolized by the refugees, the widows, the orphans. What do they all have in common? Well, they are completely dependent upon others. The poor, the widows, the orphans, they have nothing to call their own. Rather, they depend completely on everyone. Most especially, they depend completely on God. This is why St. Francis ultimately loved little animals. It wasn't just that he thought squirrels were cute. I think squirrels are cute. They come to my window at my office. I look at them. I like them. But I wouldn't give my life for a squirrel. And that's not why St. Francis loved animals. St. Francis loved animals because he could look at them and say, look how happy they seem to be. They're not worried about anything, and yet they've got nothing. He says, look at the lilies of the field, the famous psalm. They neither spin nor sow, and look, God gives them everything that they need. Look at these animals. They don't worry for 1 minute about where will I get my next meal or how much money do I have. St. Francis just said, look, they're so happy. And God provides for them. And then the key connection. St. Francis noticed that if God provides for these little animals, won't he provide for me? And therein, St. Francis found great joy. I'll end with a famous story of St. Francis. It's in a book of stories about him called The Little Flowers of St. Francis. And it's a story of St. Francis and Brother Leo, one of the other Franciscan brothers. They're returning to their little monastery. And St. Francis kind of gets in the spirit, apparently, because he says, Brother Leo, write this down. Write down that if the Franciscans were to become incredibly successful and preach the gospel everywhere, and we would have thousands of brothers, write that that would not be perfect joy. And they walked along a little bit more, and St. Francis again said, Brother Leo, write this down. Write that if many people would be inspired to follow God because of our example, if they would give themselves to poverty and fall in love with God because of our preaching, write that that would not be perfect joy. And they go on, and St. Francis repeats this several times with things that sound so beautiful, but then saying, right, that this would not be perfect joy, Brother Leo. Finally, Brother Leo, I think, gets a little perplexed. He's like, Father Francis, then pray tell, what would be perfect joy? And St. Francis describes, Brother Leo, if we were to arrive at the monastery tonight, and opening the door, the porter should see us and say, you're a bunch of thieves, get out. And he throws us out into the cold and the snow. And then if knocking again, he should start to beat us and hit us and accuse us of all things. And finally, if he were to take a club and beat us half to death and leave us lying in the snow and the mud and the cold, that, Brother Leo, would be perfect joy. Now, St. Francis is a little weird, but what he's getting at is he said, then we would know, Brother Leo, that we have a share in the cross of Christ. And in our poverty, truly, this is the only thing that we can boast to claim as our own. We can claim as our own our sufferings that we offer with Jesus, and we know when we suffer most and when we seem to have nothing, it is then that we know we are dependent completely on God, and it is then that we have perfect joy. So today, I pray for all of us that we too would take seriously God's call to love him above all things with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, that there would truly be nothing in our life that we would hold back, because we all know people, and we suffer from this ourselves, where we have lots and lots of stuff. We have seemingly everything we could need, and yet we're not happy, we're not joyful. Give it to God. And then, When you know that you depend upon God for everything, when you know that the cross is our only boast, then not only will you be happy, but you will have perfect joy.